Well, good morning, everyone. It's my turn, which I'm excited about. I really am. And the Lord gave me this message a few weeks ago, put it on my heart. It's titled, It's Only Words. But that's got a question mark over it. Do you remember that song that, I don't know if it was in the 60s or the 70s, and they used to sing, It's only words, and words don't mean a thing, or something like that. Is that words are all I have? I suppose in my head, I thought it said. Maybe it's. I thought it said, and words don't mean a thing, but they do. So that's how I came to get this message today, because words are powerful, and God spoke, used His words to speak this life into being. He spoke, he said, let there be light, and there was light. And so we're created out of a creator who used words to bring us into being. And so they're very, very, very powerful. And they do mean a thing, and words are all I have. Well, that's pretty good then, isn't it? On the other flip of the coin, words are what can bring life and what can bring death. The Bible actually talks about that in Proverbs a lot. So if you want to go to Proverbs, and then we've got a bit of a thing coming up in a minute, Nige, so that's ready to go. Get my specs on. Okay, Proverbs 11:7 says, that's not right. They changed it on me. I suppose where I got it off of, the computer. Well, I know what it says anyway. It says, death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruit. So we can use words to build people up, or we can use words to tear people down. And most of the time, if we're tearing them down, we're not really doing it deliberately, but our words, obviously some people do it deliberately, and that's sad, but sometimes we'll just flippantly give out words. I know I do. I say stupid words that have got in my head as a habit. Like I say, oh, that's just crazy. Why am I saying that all the time? I shouldn't say that. Because that's not a really good thing. I don't want to be crazy. And I'm meaning it as a joke, but really, it's a word that's not meant to be. I'm not supposed to say that. So I'm trying to be mindful in the Christian way of what I'm saying to people and what I'm giving out, because they are powerful. Yeah, not only because of the lifestyle that they've lived. And they've come in to know the Lord, and sometimes we can go, well, what's their problem, blah, 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 and sort of take a bit of a wide berth from them. Or sometimes we can just go up and give them a hug, because sometimes they're just ranting, like, do you love me, do you love me? Sometimes even with their negative words, they're just saying, are you going to still love me even if I'm like this? So the best thing that we can do is bring words of life to people. We're about, and God is about, he's not about pulling people down. He's about building us up. And he's called his children. And, if you've got children, you want your children to represent you well, don't you? You don't want them to be doing the opposite of what you've brought them up to do. And God's brought us up to say, I want you to build others up, because I'm building you up. And yeah, we're all in a process, but he wants his children to be given out words of life. So let's just see this clip. Thank you, Nige. We're going to watch it now, and I hope it's not lost by seeing the picture over and over. Thanks. I'm glad it was written in English, because that's not the original one I had. But wow, we can really change someone's world, can't we? But more, we can also change our world. The dialogue that goes on in our heads can be really good or really, really terrible. And I'm sort of testament to that, that I can just sometimes have this negative sort of stuff going on in my head and dread and whatever and anxiety that can spin around and I can just get into such a hole with it. And I don't know if that relates to anyone else, but that seems to be one of my biggest thorns in my side, my thoughts. And so I am constantly praying that the Lord will help me to renew my mind. And so when we sing those songs, you know, I'm singing it with all my passion and heart, not just because I'm up there singing, but just as a prayer to God, please change the way that I think. Please change the way that I see myself. And as he shows us who we are in him, the things that have been holding us back, like opinions of what others say or think of us, can fall away. And it has to fall away if we're going to grow in God. We know that words are powerful and they are life, and we do need to watch what we say to people and how we deliver it, and even how it's delivered, like in that one. But the thing is, we need to not let things get to us. And that's so flippant to say and a bit trite, isn't it? Because, hey, we've grown up with words that have sometimes pulled us down. And it's, and like with Mick, you know, that first word was like this, whatever it was. It wasn't positive. But then someone came along with the positive. And, you know, I've had words in my youth that were negative, and but then there's been huge positives and I've taken them on, and most of all, the words that God says about me, I've taken on big time. And so this is why, guys, it's so important that we read the word and we apply it to our lives. We don't just go, all right, I'm going to get my two chapters in today, read my word for today, tick. And, you know, if you're in a rush, you do that on the loo and whatever. I don't know what you're doing. Word for today is good. But apply it to your life. Think about it through the day. Okay, whatever you've read in word for today, or what you've read in your, especially read your Bible, because the word for today is bringing something out of the Bible, and read your word. But just meditate on it. And meditate isn't what the Hindus or the Buddhists do, because that's a different meditation. Actually, Nigel brought out this book he's been reading called, I don't know how to read that heading, The Book That Made Your World. Is that how you read it? Because it's got in... Oh, whatever. I digress. But he's turned me to a chapter called Self, and it says, Am I Like Dog or God? And so Nigel's got this in his head and he was explaining it to me a bit. But it's talking about how this... this man, oh, Nigel, can you come and just share that little bit? Because you did it better than me. Otherwise, I'll get it all around the place. He's so good at articulating things. So, yeah, just that chapter on self that you were talking about this morning with me.
Yeah, okay. So just in this chapter, he's talking about how he came to realise the significance of the scriptures and in terms of how we see who we are and stuff. And he'd come home living in India, and he'd been to university. All these lecturers are talking about the sort of Hindu and Buddhist approach to life, saying that well, there really is no truth because, after all, everything just blends into nothing, and you know, annihilation is the goal with those faiths. And so you can't really know what's true or not. In fact, and there's no such thing as right and wrong, and words don't really have any meaning after all because they're just things that we made up. And so he's struggling with this, and he came home, and the power was out, and his torch batteries were flat, and he didn't have any candles, so he just kind of sat in the dark, and his dog came and sat with him, and he started to think about the fact that he's sitting in the dark with his dog, and that his dog really didn't seem to mind that it was dark. Whether it was dark or light, the dog doesn't care. It's just, you know, it just is. But as humans, we want to create light so that we can, you know, illuminate what's going on around us. And he sort of realised that our desire to create light comes from the fact that God created light and we're made in his image. And he started to, you know, sort of think about that. And how when God created light, he spoke it into existence. And so because God chose to use words in a creative sense, that words actually are significant because it's part of the nature of God and we've been created to use language. His dog doesn't communicate with language, but he communicates with language. So he said, I'm different. I'm not an animal like my dog is. I'm being created as a unique human being. And the fact that his lecturers have been saying, you know, when the sort of Eastern meditation, they try to use meaningless words because words are meaningless anyway, according to them. And he's saying, well, no, that's completely ridiculous because words are meant to have meaning. They're meant to, you know, bring life and bring change. And, is that what you want to mean?
Yeah. Yes. Thank you. So, yeah, about the meditation. See, the meditating on the Lord's words is so much more significant. But you'll hear through the world today, everyone's talking about meditating and all that. And they're talking about the Buddhist way and the Hindu way, which is, you know, just chant something, or something, which is like what I wanted to bring that out. And you said it well, thank you. That, you know, use meaningless words because what's it matter? Because they don't think words mean anything. But we know our God spoke the world into being. Words are powerful and meaningful. And so he says, meditate on the word. So as Christians, we shouldn't be doing any ums and ahs because that's meaningless, isn't it? Yeah? And we need to tell our Christian friends that, you know, some, because if they're new in the faith, they don't know any different. They just think that's a nice thing to do because everyone's doing it and, you know, you need to get calm and the doctors are telling you go and get meditation, go to yoga and blah, blah, blah. But we're about meditating on the word. So, and even as we sing the songs, like that song today, O Lord, bless me and keep me. That's in the Bible. And is it Numbers? Is that the Jakin prayer? Yeah. Jabez? Yeah. Oh, Lord, would you bless me and you keep me and you, you know. So those sorts of things is what we meditate on. Oh, Lord, I love you. You created the heavens and the earth. You are unfathomable. I can't even say the word. You just meditate on who he is and what he's done for you. And get into that. That's all right and fine to stay in that, but not to do the empty your mind, have nothing in it. No, that's rubbish in terms of God's thought on meditation. So I want people to know that because I've seen some new Christians come in and say, oh, I'm doing this meditation, I'm feeling better. Now, the enemy can only copy, he can't create. So there'll be a counterfeit to the words that God has and the words that the enemy has. God has words that are life and original, and the enemy has things that are counterfeit. And, so we need to be aware of that and meditating on the word and words of life. Now, also, I liked this because... it's a word that I thought, what does that mean? But it's to do with the words that we say. If you've heard the word discord in the Bible, is the definition of sowing discord? It means to foster, promote, or create disagreement and bad feeling between people. The origins of the word are in music, where it describes a lack of harmony, so a lack of things working together. Or it could just be when... What? I didn't know that. Or it could be just when female pigs are arguing. What? I didn't read that far. But anyway, discord. Well, I suppose, you know, especially with words that are likened to seed sown. So our words... can pull down and bring a bad feeling in a group, in a disagreement. So we've got to be very mindful, especially as the people of God, that we're building others up. We're not pulling them down. And hey, everyone's got faults, haven't they? We could spend a whole day easily talking about people's negatives, and we wouldn't even miss a beat. Actually, we'd get on a roll, wouldn't we? We'd get on a roll and go, oh yeah, and this and this. But it seems like it's because it's against our nature, because we have the sin nature, and our sin nature wants to keep sinning, and sin degenerates, gets worse and worse and worse. So those thoughts of negativity can build up. And you know, if you've been around someone that's gone in a bit of a negative hole, I've been one of those. And Nigel has to say, stop it. No, he doesn't hear me at all. But he goes, maybe you need to go and pray or something like that. But when we've got in a negative hole, and if you go around and you know, you see them down the street and they're, oh, this has happened, this is bad. And they can't say a positive word about anything because they've got on this rut. They've spent so much time in their negative that they just can't even think of a positive word to say. But, there's a thing also that if we had to spend a day, I suppose we could get on a roll with it if we're in the spirit, that we would struggle to think of positive words constantly at the start, in the flesh. But if we're in the spirit, we could just harbour that positivity and bringing life and talking about people in a light that's good. But I don't think we can do that without the spirit, because, like I said, our sin nature, it's so easy to slide back. It's harder to push uphill and go, no, I'm choosing to think positively. I'm choosing to say words of life instead of words of death. Now, I had another person. Wendy, would you like to come and share what you have on your heart about something that someone said that's life or death to you? Thanks, love. Bless you. This is Wendy.
Hello. There's a couple of things. While Gail was talking, she kind of put me on the spot when I got here. She asked me to do this. I haven't had much time to prepare or anything. But, when I was growing up and stuff, my dad had left and my mother worked three jobs to put myself and my next sister through school and to pay bills and stuff like that. So she was never home. So I grew up thinking she didn't care about us. And she was very, very unemotional, and she didn't show us affection at all. But I think it was just in that era where that it wasn't the done thing, you know. And if you so much as cried or anything like that, it was don't be stupid, you know. So I grew up, I was a bit of a tomboy when, and probably still am. crying and that was always a weakness, you know. And I got it so down pat that as soon as the tears started, I'd shove them back down again, you know. And I had it so well done that when I needed to cry, I couldn't cry. Which is where you were saying this morning, you cry easily, and that's a blessing. because it's a curse not to be able to cry and really want to, you know. But all through my life, there's been a lot of negative things, and I apologise to the male species here, where they have let me down all the way along. And when God came along, he said, "You're in the palm of my hand, and I will look after you." Sorry. And he has, all the way along. 3 weeks ago, I had to go into the hospital and have a minor procedure done. And I wasn't nervous. I knew, I prayed that morning and thought, "God, I'm in your hands. I know you're going to look after me." And went there, had the operation done. In the recovery room, the surgeon came and spoke to me and said, you know, he'll follow up in 6 weeks' time, blah, blah, blah. And he went on to the next person and said, "Oh, the machine broke while we were doing your surgery." And she had the exact same procedure that I had. So she had to go back at a later date and have the surgery again because they had to send the machine off to get fixed. And I just thought, "Thank you, Lord." You know, yeah, it was all fine, you know. And just everywhere along my life, he just never ceases to show me that he blesses me and he's looking after me. And, yeah, it's just, I thank God for it.
Beautiful. Thanks, Wendy. That's beautiful. Thanks for sharing that. It really, you know, when we have to share something that's really touched our heart, sometimes, you know, we can feel like, "Oh, should I share that?" But that can really bless someone else. See, that's words of life to them as well as to you, you know. So thank you, Wendy, for that and the short notice that I gave you. But you did great. Yeah, awesome. So I really want us to be a church that really watches what we say and watches what we do. And, yeah, obviously we're all going to make mistakes, but let's keep pushing on and making sure that our words are going to bring, you know, a whole percentage of the time, words of life. And when we have slipped up, hey, let's be quick to go and make amends and say, "Hey, I was out of line. I'm really sorry about that. Will you forgive me?" And that is a humbling thing to do, but God's called us to live like him. And Jesus was humble, and, you know, we want to be like him. We don't want to be proud and haughty, which is the next point that I wanted to make with words. So I'm hoping that's come up here. That's Discord. So what does it mean to have haughty eyes? Someone who is haughty is arrogant and full of pride. When you're haughty, you have a big attitude and act like you're better than other people. A haughty person acts superior and looks down on others. Haughty people are disdainful, overbearing, prideful, swaggering, and obnoxious. Now, I'm pretty sure that most of us would fit into that category before Christ, and hopefully he's working on us to get that pride out of us, because we're all born with that sinful nature, and pride is one of the biggest things, because that comes from the father of lies, which is Satan. He was pride. And so we don't want to have any of that in us, do we? We want to be approachable people. We want people to go, "Oh yeah, they're Christian. They're just going to love us, and there's not going to be any eyes looking down at us when they come to us." You know, we don't want people to think, "Oh, they think they're better than us." We want people to think, "Wow, they love us. They're praying for us. I wonder why, because I've been horrible to them and they're still praying for me. Wow." You know, that's going to blow people's minds. And we just got to, obviously, put down the flesh, because our flesh always wants to react, and it's the easiest thing to do. We want to go, really? They said that about me? And then we can chew on that for like hours or days or weeks or months, or bring it up like, you know, a year later. By the way, do you remember? You know, and we can get into these horrible places, and that's a haughty thing. That's pride. Let's remind ourselves when we do that again, because we will get to the point where we probably do it again and we go, oh, that's haughtiness. I don't want to be like that. I don't want to be like that. And then let's just get rid of it. We want to be ambassadors for Christ, that it's going to shine for him. We want to be good representations of Christ, don't we? I've just got a few little quotes that I thought were really good, and some of them are anonymous. They're just quotes on words and how they can bring life. So the first one, the tongue has no bones, but it is strong enough to break a heart. So be careful with your words. That's anonymous. So true, isn't it? We can break someone's heart with words that we say. Kind words do not cost much, yet they accomplish much. There is a form of communication that transcends the power of words. Your words carry amazing power. So when you speak, make sure you uplift someone and never put them down. That's anonymous. And it should be anonymous, because then I just think that's amazing. That's sort of like, in essence, what we want to be doing. Our words have to be speaking life. Language creates reality. Words have power. Speak always to create joy. Words can make you or break you. Words have a magical power. They can either bring the greatest happiness or the deepest despair. That was Sigmund Freud. He was a bit sad. Don't mix your words with your mood. You can change your mood, but you can't take back your words. I love that one. Because, you know, when we have a bad mood, or maybe, you're in a bad mood. Something's happening hormonally. You can just roll with that and let your mood take you down, and then you just start saying stuff about yourself mainly, putting yourself down. I do that all the time, Laura. Please help me, God. I'm praying all the time. God, help me. But I'm praying for menopause. So I'll get there. Everything will be fine then, surely. Will it? Will it be fine when I reach menopause? Is it good? Wally's cracking up. Yeah. Words are containers for power. You choose what kind of power they carry. You can change the course of your life with your words. Wow, that's amazing. And God says, you know, that, like I started with, you know, death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruit. So if you love life and you want to speak life, then you're going to have good fruit coming out. But if you speak words of negative and death, well, you're going to eat that fruit, and that's not good, very good fruit. Speak to yourself like someone you love. That's a good idea. Encourage yourself, motivate yourself, and uplift yourself with your words. Now, I think that's a great catch cry for me. I think I grew up just not liking myself. I think that's a girl thing. I don't know if it's a boy thing too. You pick yourself to pieces in your head. But we do need to love ourselves in a right way. Obviously, you just don't think I am the greatest, like Muhammad Ali or whatever. Well, you know, but we do need to love ourselves in a way not that the world says, but the way that God says. You know, he says, I've made you, you're my child. You can love yourself because I've changed you. And, yeah, it's important that we watch what we're saying to ourselves internally. Handle words carefully, for words have more power than atom bombs. Be mindful when it comes to your words. A string of some that don't mean much to you may stick with someone for a lifetime. That's so true. You know, we can, like I said before, we can flippantly just throw out words because we're used to saying those words, like, of, you know, that word crazy that I say. And, you know, whether that hurts someone or not, but maybe it might hurt someone. And that's a flippant word. And so we got to really be mindful of these things. A couple more. I know nothing in the world that has as much power as a word. Sometimes I write one and I look at it until it begins to shine. Oh, that's nice. But, yeah, words are powerful. I just wanted to, today, and it's funny that we were talking about this, Wendy, but today if someone needs prayer about some words that have been spoken over you that have been death and have hurt you, you know, like someone's flippantly thrown out a word to you maybe when you were 5, maybe when you were 25, you know, and somehow they've taken root in your life because you've taken on what they've said as truth. Of course, you know, God wants to refute that, and because those words aren't supposed to be in you if anyone's suffering from that.